Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Now, Belichick and company going to go for it on 4th and 5. We hit the 7-minute mark left in regulation. 3 blitzer. Zappi never had a chance. Derwin James lights him up.
Hey. Highlight from earlier today where the New England Patriots were unable to score against the Los Angeles Chargers. Players like Derwin James and Khalil Mack making big plays time and again. Khalil Mack had himself a day. Oh, Michael Onwen, oh boy, he did not have himself a good day. I believe I heard you say in the opening segment of today's Six Rings postgame show on WEEI, Andy, that if Mike Onwen, who does choose to take his talents elsewhere after the season and solicit services via the free agent market, I would probably have my agent or my media people not put any footage from the Chargers game on that tape because he was not. He wasn't very good today. Nor was Trenton Brown.
Well, because they're not. I mean, there's a lot of issues there. I'm not sure how invested some of them are at this point. But
what do we need a 10-hour postgame show to get through all the issues? My God,
this team has a lot of issues. That's why they're 2-10.
Yes, they do indeed. And joining us now, Andy, on the Harbor One Hotline, fresh from the stadium, where he not only watched today's game, God bless him for doing that and not jabbing his eyes out, but also from the locker room where he spoke to many of the players. He heard the speeches at the postgame podium and more, as we have now dubbed him on the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, the Patriots beatdown reporter, because even he, of his immense positivity, has now joined us down in the depths. It's the one and the only, at Mike Cadlick. Good evening, Michael. How are we hanging? How are we doing?
Fellas, what's going on?
This is your anti-pickle pizza party. You're the beatdown reporter. Dude, this is just... Well, first things first, real quick, before we get into the nitty-gritty of today, can you... I haven't seen too much on it. Could you provide the audience with maybe any info or an update on Ramondre? What happened after that hip drop tackle led him to exit the game in the first quarter with what we believe to be an ankle injury?
Yeah, ankle injury, right ankle. He obviously, as you saw, I'm sure, on the TV copy and what have you, was helped off the field, no weight on his right ankle. Jeff Howe from The Athletic reported that the x-ray that he had on the ankle came back negative. So that's, I guess, obviously that's a good sign. I don't know how much he's really going to help you down the stretch anyway, but it sounds like the x-ray is negative, and he'll have an MRI to figure out if it is a sprain or not, and I guess what else is going on down there in the right ankle. But Jeff also reported after that he is expected to miss multiple weeks regardless of what the test results are. So no Mondre next week in Pittsburgh.
Next week, later this week even. Andy, Mike,
yeah, I know, you're right. I'm all lost.
I just want to put it out to both of you guys right now to weigh in on before we continue on with the call, Mike. Would either of you guys just flat out say right now, like, send him to IR and shelve him just for his own benefit the rest of the way?
I would, absolutely. I mean, again, if it's a high ankle sprain and you have, 5 games left? five games left. Call it. IR. See you later. Shelve it up. We'll see you next year. Because, again, you're not playing for anything. And I know we're all team tank here. And I just heard you guys when I was driving home, whatever. And I'm still keeping an eye on that Carolina Panthers game because, as you mentioned, Fitzy, if Carolina wins today and they beat Tampa, the Patriots have the number one pick heading into next week. So with the strength of schedule being what it is. So, yeah, I mean, I would save him from himself. You can use that as a method of tanking, and it still doesn't look that bad. So, yeah, shove him up. Why not?
Andy, we might be popping bottles later tonight. Listen to this. Come on now.
I'm popping a bottle later as soon as this show ends, no matter what. So
What's in it? And folks, what's in it? A, Miller Lite. B, Vicodin. C, both. We'll find out after the post.
Good mix. Good mix. Mike, I want to read you a quick tweet from Albert Breer and just get your reaction. So okay. Albert Breer, about sure. 2 hours ago, tweeted, "This is going to sound really weird because the Patriots are getting shut out, but the offense has, on balance, looked better with Bailey Zappe at quarterback." What's your reaction to that tweet?
Yeah, I saw it. My reaction that is not true, Andy. That is a not true tweet from Albert Breer. Look, yeah, he didn't turn the ball over. Congratulations. The offense still did turn the ball over once with a Ramondre Stevenson fumble, and they didn't score a single point against the worst-ranked defense in football. So, no, the offense, on balance, did, and I like Bert. I think Bert does a great job, obviously. I disagree completely. The offense was terrible once again. It further proves that as bad as Mac Jones has been, and yes, maybe I thought there would be a little bit of a zip-zap into the offense with Zappe coming in. They're still not good. They still need help. It's not a quarterback problem. It's a top-down problem on the unit, and clearly you saw that today. They can't do anything, literally anything, on offense, regardless of who's under center.
Mike Kadlec from WEEI.com joins us via the Harbor One Hotline on the way back from the stadium. Mike, in your time in the locker room today afterward, give us a sense of what the mood and the vibe is. Obviously, people were probably cold and wet and just physically miserable. Yeah. They got beat up out there. It was a very hard-hitting game, as always. I mean, any NFL game is, obviously. It's 3 hours of intense cultured violence and physical car crashes. But what was the mood in the locker room like? You've seen it be super low. You've described it in recent week, and this is a few weeks back, as so down you couldn't believe it. Can they go any lower, and did you get that feeling today in the locker room?
I don't think it's much lower. Like, I don't think that it's getting lower. From a locker room vibe perspective, I think that they're just kind of, they understand where they are. Jabril Peppers said it last week. They understand that they ask. Like, I mean, it's that he's like, I don't think they go into games necessarily expecting much anymore. Like, yeah, maybe they pull it out. Maybe they, and again, the defense is playing their tails off, and they continue to say all the right things. But it was somber, but it's nothing like I haven't seen before because, again, this is kind of just what they've turned into now. I will say that as far as about people talking and who spoke, like, everybody kind of realizes that, the defense is playing well and the offense is not. Like, there's nobody saying anything wrong. Like Zeke said, we feel bad for those guys. We need to put up points. They're playing their tails off, whatever. And then even Jalen Mills, who I loved his quote. He said, "They scored 6 points. We lost by six. We didn't do our job." Like, nobody's pointing fingers, at least externally to the media, outward facing. I'm sure there's probably, stuff going on inside the walls that we don't really, know or see. But I still like where the defense is headed at as far as, like, still taking accountability, even though they really shouldn't have to, or frankly should just sit there and say, yeah, we're doing our job. They're not doing theirs. But overall, the only thing I don't like, and I'm sure we'll get to it, and I've talked about it on the show too, but I mean, it's Bill Belichick and the way he acts at the podium. Like, and I get it. You just lost and you're on a 5-game losing streak and you're constantly being questioned about your job. So like, it's not an easy situation to be in. So I don't need him to go up there and, smile and give us the game plan, but it feels just kind of outright disrespectful when a guy like Mike Reese, who is, top of the line, like, does everything correct, asks the appropriate questions. And it's not like he's up there saying, "Hey, Bill, why'd you guys stink today, dude?" Figure it. Like, he, like, respectfully asks a question to try and relay what's going on. And the when he just barks back and like mumbles and says garbage to him, like it really rubs me the wrong way. And then there was one more question in the room, and he just walked off and said, "See ya." Like it's just again, and I've talked about it 3, 4, 5 times now on the way home from these games with you guys, but like that was cute and that was cool when you were 10-2 and when you won this game on a rainy December day, you had hats and T-shirts that you already won the AFC East. When you're 2-10 and vying for the number one pick, it does. It just feels wrong and disrespectful. And, like, we and us are just trying to do our jobs, and he's not really letting us. So I don't like the vibe, and again, I get it, but it still just it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, no question. And we've all reached the point over the years where Bill rubs us the wrong way, especially in these losing post games. But you're right. He's been doing it for 15, 20 years through success, and it's going to get criticized and pointed to, I think, more during failure. The guy we just talked about coming in, Mike Onwenu, were you surprised at how much he struggled today? I mean, I think a lot of people had sort of settled in like, oh, he's at right tackle. He's good at right tackle. Yeah. He's helped solidify the line. They've run behind him. I thought he got almost embarrassed by Khalil Mack at times today.
Yeah, he did. Khalil Mack, this is his 10th NFL season, and I think he already tied what they played, 11 games, 12 games. He's already tied his career high in sacks for a season. So he's been a monster this year in year 10. I think today was his 14th and 15th sacks, and his career high was 15 in year 2 with Chicago. So he's rolling. But, I mean, no, not that that's an excuse for Onwenu to play poorly. Like, he's supposed to be, like you said, Andy, sort of the guy that, you know, we would like to potentially see them keep at right tackle for the long term. Mm-hmm. And for him to be a turnstile today, obviously it's not good. I heard you saying the thing about his game film too, and kind of leave that out, and I get it. But it could just be a look. I don't think, like, again, this is the first really bad game he's had all season. It happens. It's the league. Nobody's expecting him to be a top two paid, you know, tackle in the league, but you're expecting him to be really good, so it happens. But it could just be, I don't want to call it a buyout thing because I don't think he doesn't try, but it could just be rainy day, wet day, offense stinks, we stink. Like, oh, Khalil beats me one way, I'm not going to strain myself the other way to go try and get him. Like, oops, sorry type thing. So I don't know. He wasn't good. He wasn't good. There's no sugarcoating it.
Mike, we're up against the break, and unfortunately your phone signal, just because I know the weather is bad and you're on the road right now, is kind of breaking up. So thank you for checking in, buddy. We will make sure to catch up with you at .com, and of course we'll hear from you on the Six Rings podcast this week with your Patriots personality, media madness interview, the Catholics crucial clashes, and so much more. Home safe. It'll be a quick turnaround for all of us, so we'll have to just like kind of leave this one in the rear view real quick as we get ready for Thursday night.
Yep.
Trubisky Zappy. Are you fired up, kid?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon. Go Pats, and go Carolina Panthers as well. Pass to the pick. See you guys.
There it is, baby, right there. Mike Cadlick at Mike Cadlick from WEI.com joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Andy, as Michael was wrapping up and his phone signal was breaking up, I was checking the NFL scores. Oh! The Panthers just scored! They're up 10-7 over the Buccaneers with 5 minutes left in the third quarter.
I told you that was a winnable game
this
for Carolina.
This is the best post-game show ever.
The path to the pick. Dun-dun-dun.
Have you, by the way, you've had a little time. Have you workshopped what you want to roll with for a holiday? Excuse me. Thanksgiving is a holiday. It actually truly heralds the beginning of the holiday season in America. But we've moved on from Thanksgiving. We sat down. We've had a hearty. We've gone back. We've had multiple like D'Angelo style Thanksgiving stuffed turkey and stuffing sandwiches since our Thanksgiving supper was served a little while ago. Have you come up with your Christmas themed Patriots tanks style saying, slogan, etc. yet?
I have not. I've been thinking long and hard since the moment you last asked me that, and I haven't paused for 1 minute in the time in between. I hadn't thought of it since you asked.
I was going to say.
I said it last week. Tank the Halls is pretty good.
It's terrible. It is not good. There is nothing
good
about it. There's
mild sincerity and a lot of sarcasm in there, so I should expect nothing less. That's just you doing you. I have fully embraced and I understand that. Just you steer into the suck. You expect heart to just give you a hard time no matter what. If my eyes are open and my ears are working. By the way, the 49ers are up 21-6 over the Eagles. Boy, oh boy. See, man, Vegas seemed to get it right on that one. There's still a decent amount of football to come.
You know what I should have nailed today, too? I hate gambling, but I love our friends at FanDuel.
The under. Why don't we keep betting the under, for God's sakes?
Well, because I was right. I laid the points, and I won by a half a point.
I owe you 12 beers.
6-5. But also, Ramondre had 40 yards rushing in, like, the first 6 minutes, and I needed 60 and a half, and then, of course, he, like, breaks his ankle or whatever the hell. I guess it's not broken, according to the x-rays, but...
Shelve him.
Damn it.
No, I get you. I know. I know. There's probably a lot of people, too, right now that are listening that are like, yeah, bro, you should see what happened to my fantasy team. This is not that show. I'm sorry.
I also don't love... This is just a really quick, overly critical aside, but I have to be consistent. I once ripped Patrick Pass for dropping the ball when he pulled a hamstring, just letting go of the ball.
Oh, I remember that game. It was a Sunday night game, and I think that was the Brewski returns game.
I don't know. But I know he dropped the ball because he pulled a hammy. That's kind of what Ramondre did today. I was really surprised. He didn't really fumble. I think he, in the pain, just let go of the ball, which I thought was...
I think that hurt real bad. And by the way, should we save it for the podcast this week? I mean, I cannot believe the show has been on over 2.5 hours now, and we still have an entire other post-game show we could probably do. But when do you want to have the referendum or the town hall on the hip drop tackle?
Well, see, we can talk about it. I think you and I are probably on different ends of the spectrum there. Because if you get rid of the hip drop tackle, you know what I say. You took another step toward flag football. I mean, there's only so many ways you can tackle. And if you're going to start...
But it's yielding so many injuries at this point now. Yeah. Like,
and that... Okay, so don't play football. Like, are you just going to not allow people to tackle? I can't hit you above the
chest. It's not a tackle, though. That's like a... It's a sliding
grab. A tackle. It's a tackle.
It counts as a tackle. You know what I mean?
It's like absolutely
a form tackle.
So we're going to add another thing. Oh, great. That can be reviewed and penalized, and we can criticize the awful officials when they can't even see when a finger touches a ball and it changes direction on video slow motion replay.
Yeah, let's give these guys who should be working at shoe shops and optometrists something else to worry about.
It's very
on
simple.
The field.
Just expedite the process. Troy Vincent told us in 100 years it would be flag football. Let's just speed it up. Go tomorrow. Go flag football tomorrow. Maybe the Patriots are better at flag football than
tackle. Who knows? I mean, would Tyquan Thornton's hands get any better if it was flag?
Probably not.
Nope. All right, there you go. As we promised, we'll get right back to the phone, 617-779-7937. And as we get to do each and every week now, Andy, we will get to check in with our favorite fan down under. Jake from Australia is going to... The man is literally all the way around the other side of the globe, and he chooses to start his Mondays with that nonsense. That is how you good fan, everybody. So the phones are jammed. We'll get back to you guys. We may hear from Christian Fourier before the show's over. Don't forget Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. Cars for Kids player of the game. Holy smokes, we got a lot of post-game show to get to in the remaining hour and 5 minutes. And let's get that rolling right now with Joe Braverman, producer extraordinaire, who is trending now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You targeted Taekwon for some big plays today. Just what did you see from him?
Yeah, Taekwon is a great receiver. We have a great receiver group. We have guys that can go down there and catch the ball. You just got to give him a chance. And there's some times where, you know, I need to throw a better ball, like the deep one of Taekwon. I need to throw it better. I let it too far. And, you know, maybe if I throw it, you know, 6 inches shorter, that's a touchdown. He's catching and running it. So we just got to keep grinding. Those guys are doing phenomenal. I just got to get them the ball.
Bailey Zappe speaking to the media after the game today at Gillette Stadium about throwing the ball to Taekwon Thornton, calling him a great receiver. Somebody may want to tell Bailey Zappe that catching the football is also part of being a receiver, let alone a good receiver or a great receiver. He certainly has the speed, but did not bring his hands to the stadium as well, which is quite unfortunate because, boy, was he open on that play. It's the Six Rings postgame show live on WEEI. We're with you till 7:30, at which point we throw to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. Hopefully it's a good one. I think it's going to be, Andy. That, of course, is going to be the chefs who seem to have woken up and rediscovered, or rather discovered, whatever is this iteration of their offense in 2023 as they travel to Green Bay and take on the Packers. It's definitely going to be a fun one, or a good one, because I would like to see personally if the Packers have gotten their defense together and if Jordan Love just had a one-off on Thanksgiving or has actually woken up and stepped into his powers. Also, by the way, excellent game going on right now in Philadelphia. It's 21-13 49ers over the Eagles. People are calling it fight night at the link. Apparently some assistant coach got into a scrape or something and then had to get thrown out of the game. Joe, what happened there?
Yeah, so what had happened was, I forget the play right before, but I believe Devontae Smith had a little extracurricular. Someone tackled him after the whistle or whatever. And so Dre Greenlaw got into it with an assistant coach on the Philly sidelines. Greenlaw, I think maybe at just like, maybe not a punch, but like sort of a tap to that coach's face. The coach pushed back, and they both got ejected. An assistant coach from Philly and Dre Greenlaw from the Niners both got tossed.
Wow.
How about that? Seems like that benefited Philly.
I think it did, yeah, because Dre Greenlaw is really good at football, and getting him out of the game, like sacrificing an assistant coach.
Been an equipment guy.
Yeah, for all we...
It wasn't like a coordinator. Let's just put that out there. It wasn't a coordinator. It was just some guy on the sidelines.
Slappy.
Bailey Slappy. That's
and he's a big slappy, because I wouldn't call him a slappy to his face because he looked pretty thick. But
what? He's got that rim shot. Rim shot and the crickets ready for the two of us. Way too quick.
Yeah. What do we should have a sound effect for him.
What's that?
I don't know, but we need something.
All right. You have to come up with it. Your holiday tanks expression first.
I have to play my own sound effect. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you have to play yourself off. You know, get the keyboard cat music. How about that, Joe? While you look for a sound effect yourself, we go back to the phones. Mark and Deb, who are on their way home from the stadium, want to talk about today's game. Hi, Mac. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, how are you? What's going on?
Well, good. I'm still trying to dry out from that game, but.
Betsy, Deb must be your biggest fan, I'll tell you. She loves you.
Thank you, Deb. You're the absolute best. And I love you, and we appreciate you guys calling in today. Andrew. Go ahead, guys.
So, guys, tell us why Malik Cunningham can't get any snaps at quarterback. And then also, I loved that guy, Mike, that was on. He is absolutely 100% right on how Bill talks to the media. I've been saying this for a long time on how Bill talks to the media. It's just not right. It's just unprofessional, and it's just disrespectful to these guys that are trying to do their job. Like, enough is enough. You're a crappy coach. You built a crappy team. Like, own up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I listen, guys. I don't disagree with you, and I too, we have been trying to figure out exactly why, Mark, Malik Cunningham didn't get into the game. Several of the pool reporters afterwards at Bill Belichick's press conference asked him. We heard all week that he was taking reps at receiver and at quarterback as well. The team obviously needed some speed and a spark in some capacity. He didn't have to come in and run a gadget play under center, but just to find a way to put the ball in his hands on a day where you needed anybody that had a little bit of a dynamic to them. I don't know. I know it's a great question, and you know, God bless you guys for sticking it out down there as well. How many fans were left by the time you guys had the last play? Oh, they're gone. Okay, Deb, Mark, thank you guys for calling in. Deb, you're the absolute best. How many fans do we think were in the stadium by that point? I know 49,000 was what they were hoping for announced. I don't think that's what they actually.
I've seen estimates of 38.
But at the end of the game or overall?
Oh no, overall. Like 40,000 to start. And
yeah,
I
and your son and his friends accounted for half of that.
Yeah, and they moved up a bunch of seats because people were leaving and there were seats available right near the field. So, yeah, no, it wasn't a great day for football, and you provide them nothing. It's raining and the game sucks. So even though I am a firm believer you stay till the end because you never know what you're going to see. For example, Malik Cunningham, if he had come in the game, what if he comes in the game and like leads this comeback or whatever exciting? I'd be mad.
37-yard touchdown scamper to make all the highlight reel.
Yeah. I'd be mad if I left. You know, I'd be mad that, okay, so I did the hard part. I went to the game that was crappy in the crappy weather, and then I left early and missed the only part of the crappy game that was worth my time. So I would be mad about that. But I give people credit like Deb and everybody else, even though I'm not her favorite. I don't know. She must drink a lot if she likes you. But anyway, that stuck it out and got really, really cold and wet and yucky and didn't have fun for the support of their team. To the Malik Cunningham thing, though, I'm all for him getting some gadget plays, getting in at receiver, especially now that numbers are down. I wouldn't throw him out there at quarterback for any extended period because he's not a quarterback. He hasn't taken enough reps. I think it would be unfair to him with limited preparation to just throw him to the wolves. Like, Khalil Mack is killing people. I don't think it's fair to put Malik. Now, I know he can run and he's athletic, but I don't think it's fair as a ill-prepared quarterback to put him out there with any consistency. So
it's not a spot to succeed, sir.
No. It's a position to fail, much like the people around you are failing. And you might want to keep him around. Now, we have big picture questions moving forward, but the next coach, the next GM, might want Malik Cunningham as a part of this team, as a slash, as a third quarterback, slash fifth receiver, whatever it's going to be. And you don't want to injure him or kill his
don't
confidence.
Don't distress the assets,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So be smart with it. You put Bailey. And I also do think what I said earlier, there might be some truth to. Like, you've gone to plan B. I think you got to let plan B play out for a little bit and fail before you go to plan C, because you're going to run out of plans while there's still games going if you go to plan C too early.
And Will Greer must be watching this offense and going on the sidelines or from wherever he is, the emergency quarterback or a healthy scratch or whatever. He must be thinking to himself, could I possibly make this any worse?
He didn't even want to come back. Did you see that initial report after he got cut last week?
No.
That returning is not expected to be his first priority or something
like
that.
I did see, yes.
Yeah, well, that means he didn't really want to come back, and then there were no other offers, so he's like, well, I guess I got to go back there and collect a paycheck.
Guess I'll take a check. Oh, my God. All right, time for some performance art. To Rhode Island we go, to the man, the myth, the legend himself, Paul in Rhode Island. Hello, Paul.
How are you, my man?
Hey,
my
man.
My call.
Thank you.
Listen, let's be honest, okay?
What?
Hello? Okay, I don't know where that was going. That
not in a great direction, didn't
that
seem.
Was not going in a great direction. I'm not even sure exactly what the context of whatever he said, but Joe, was that dropped? Did you? Okay. Good job. All right, we cleaned that up, everyone. Sorry for that call. The thoughts of every caller do not reflect the hosts of the show, the radio station, or our parent company, Odyssey. That is not a pre-prepared statement that I read whenever someone says something that could potentially be offensive. I just want to make sure that in case anyone heard any part of that, it was not prepared, and we do not believe in talking like that at all in any private or public forum. Let's actually try to clean things up and have a nice call. Let's go back down under like I talked about earlier. Jake woke his butt up early and watched that game. Oh, boy, Jake, another tough one, mate.
No, I definitely did not wake up early for this one. I come in at about halfway through the second quarter. Not worth getting up at 4 o'clock for this.
You're right. 100% right. You missed nothing.
And in that previous call, too, you said you did say there was going to be theater, and my God, there was theater.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Not great.
yikes. Yeah, Jake, so you joined the game. Where in Australia are you, by the way? Because we appreciate your fandom halfway around the globe.
I'm about an hour and a half away from Melbourne.
All right. And yet still, somehow the signal travels.
Yeah, thanks to a lovely thing called the internet. We do get that down here.
In those backwoods of Australia.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What? Your point on the call screener said the defense would score more than the offense if they had Judon and Gonzalez playing. Jake, they have reached a point. It's a valid point. They have reached a point where now the only way they're going to win. Like, I think Jalen Mills spoke to it. I think Andy, it was Adrian Phillips who spoke to it last week. Like, they're going to have to pitch a shutout if they want to win a game, and then the defense is going to actually have to score. Jake, that's not a crazy point. If they want to win, if you want to see them win a game the rest of the season, whereas now, if Carolina beats Tampa, and Tampa just took the lead, son of a gun. But, you know, you could be competing for the first overall draft pick, Jake.
We could be, but it's just one of those thoughts you have when you're not winning. You're like, what else could we be doing here? I'm like, how many pick sixes could Gonzalez have? How many sacks could Judon have? Mm-hmm. It was just one of those.
And I would add in Marcus Jones being on IR. If you had Marcus Jones on the field, he's the best playmaker this team had a year ago in all three phases, basically. He scored in all three phases. Well, those three guys, if they weren't on IR.
Our special team special.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, he most certainly would, and we've been missing a lot of those things. Well, Jake, thanks very much. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you calling in. Look forward to hearing from you every week. We're probably not going to hear from you after the Steelers game. But wait. If the game is 8:20 p.m. start Thursday night, what time is that kickoff in Australia?
So it's a 16-hour difference from Melbourne to Boston.
Thank you.
So
it'll be a nooner, a little Friday nooner for him.
Yeah.
That's far from an afternoon delight.
It'll be 2 o'clock. Yeah. It'll be mid. He'll be at work. He can enjoy
work. So flash forward 8 o'clock here.
Maybe have a Friday early lunch and cut out and go watch the game and a few Fosters and a shrimp on the barbie.
This is probably the most offensive segment in the history of the Six.
Paul's going to call back in and say he was offended by that segment.
No, no, it was awful. Thank you for calling, Jake. My God, what has happened? What has happened to all of us? People are losing their GD minds. David in Florida. Hello, David.
G'day, mate.
I blame Hart.
What's that guy's connection to New England? I gotta find that out.
Well,
I'm
the next
Texan
week
or something.
We have to leave little breadcrumbs of something to tie on to for the remainder of the season. That'll be one of the things we'll try to suss out. Why does Jake in Australia like the Patriots? We'll get to that next week. Okay. What's up, David? What do you got?
Now, I got a question for you, and then after the question, I got a little tease of something we're going to play later on in the week.
Okay.
So get ready.
So much all right,
now,
to.
My, all right. My question is, so who's the backup quarterback for Dallas, the guy that the Niners drafted a couple of years ago?
Trey Lance.
Yeah. He seems pretty good. Has a potential. So what about trading for him during the offseason and drafting Harrison? Because, I mean, it takes a quarterback always a little longer to adapt. So that might not be a horrible idea.
I think it's a horrible idea.
Why do you say that?
Because the guy,
I mean, Harrison seems to be a no-brainer, and
agreed.
It takes a quarterback 3 or 4 years to
does it
to step in.
Patrick Mahomes in his first year starting won the MVP, went to a Super Bowl. Tom Brady first year starting went to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow first year starting was good, got hurt, came back second year, was great. I think the special ones are special right out the gates. True franchise quarterbacks, to me, don't take very long to decide that. Now, Aaron Rodgers didn't play. There's some of those guys, but
yeah,
I think the really good ones.
Yeah,
Trey Lance was basically a running back at North Dakota State. He didn't really throw the football. He was a developmental project, an athlete, and I want no part of
Are there any other above-average backups in the league right now?
I really don't think so, David.
Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, let's go. We'll trade for Jarrett Stidham. David, I'm going to have to let you go. I appreciate that. I appreciate the call, sir. Please, that nugget you wanted to share with us, the tease that you wanted to share, make sure that you hold on to that and call back into the program later this week. I believe, Joe, have we received, has the phone rang with a certain special someone from WEEI? Maybe he's actually on the phone with them right now. I think we're actually going to have to go into break late because Christian Fourier will be making an appearance on the Six Rings postgame show now. He's got just a couple minutes. I believe he's actually watching his daughter in a basketball game, and it's halftime, so he's got just a couple of minutes to join us with his thoughts on the program. Joe, do we got the Fourier queued up?
I don't think
all
so.
All right.
It's just he's you out. And I.
It's We're just rudderless. The two of us? Ah, we can make it if we try, Andy.
Building castles in the sky.
What an odd, like, what an odd array of calls, thoughts, opinions. Like, this feels like devolved, like, barely controlled and contained madness today. Like, the fans are like, you said, like, you know, they broke Cadlick, so he was the beat reporter. Now he's the beat down guy. They broke Fitzy. I don't know how to feel about things anymore. A shake and alter identity. Nothing I hold to be true or real anymore seems to be the case. And now they may have broken you. I think they've broken the fan base at large. I really do.
How could you not be broken? How could you not be, especially from where we came, right? Who was it that brought it up the other day when we were talking? Is this the fastest Stiz on the Rich Keefe show was like, is this the fastest drop-off for an organization from
most
like
precipitate,
penthouse to outhouse, like credibility, measuring stick positive to now laughing stock. And I think he's right. And it's been too quick for us in the media and us as fans to deal with, quite honestly.
That's a good question. And let's pose that one. We got a couple of minutes with him right now while he's on break at halftime. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, co-host of the Midday Show, analyst extraordinaire, two-time Super Bowl champion, Christian Fourier. You keep, damn it, every week you say, guys, buckle up, strap in, it's going to get worse. And you know what? You're right. Every week somehow it gets worse. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know where the floor is. And to answer that question, I don't know what that Andy just mentioned, was, yeah, I was just actually kind of saying that this afternoon on the postgame show. I'm sitting there and I, you know, Bill takes forever to come out. Like, to feel like it's the longest he's ever taken to come out after a game, win or loss, Super Bowl or playoff. So that was weird. And then I'm just watching him getting peppered and just hammered, and he's trying to avoid all these questions, and he's trying to defend himself. And then he backs himself into a corner, and then someone asks another question, and then he just exposes himself, and he just looks lost. Like, that is what I saw, and I felt sorry for him. You know, even though that is he made his bed and now he's got to lie in it, you know, for all these years, he just looks and almost represents something totally different than he used to, which is crazy, you know, based on everything that he's accomplished. It's just nuts.
Christian, what was your review of Bailey Zappi today? Obviously, he didn't score any points, so that's not a great first start for him. but what'd you think of Zappi?
I mean, it's kind of exactly what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought the most important thing was that he just, like, as a whole, as a team, they just couldn't have turnovers. They couldn't have, you know, the fumble by Ramondre is one thing, but they couldn't have ugly turnovers, throwing the ball into coverage and team meetings and just, you know, just take the sack. And he did all that. He did everything they asked him to do. And then you could tell by the game plan that they protected against, there was no high-risk throws. I mean, there was a couple. But for the most part, it was lateral here, sideline throw here, slip screen here. It was like nothing short 5 yard out here to the outside. There's nothing where I was like, wow, they're really trying to win this game. So he's exactly what I thought he was going to be. He's an average to below average quarterback. I mean, that's it. And would he look better with a better offense, a better conditions, a better offensive line? Sure. But I think they're so risk adverse that they are going to dumb down the offense just so they can stay in the game. And with all that being said, which as bad as they were in the game. They were in the game at 6-0, which is just another sign of just like, what is it, 26 points the defense has given up in 3 weeks and three games, and they still haven't won any of these games. It's almost, even if you're trying to lose it on purpose for some gambling benefit, that's hard to do. Like, shaving points, you know, it's hard to do.
The defense is giving up an average, Christian, yes, over these last three games of 8.67 points. The Patriots are 0-3. Now, I understand offenses probably come into these games thinking, we don't really even have to try that hard. Like, hell, if we get to 10, we're good. But still, the Patriots' defense is giving a maximum and at times magnificent effort. You get no Dietrich Wise today because he's got some bug. Sean Wade is a late scratch. Yet still, Uche plays better. Keon White plays well. The defensive line plays well. You've got guys that have no business maybe even playing starting cornerback in the NFL, all balling out and giving the Chargers fits in obviously cruddy weather as well. It's just, I mean, they basically do have to pitch a shutout if they want to be in the game. Let me ask you, from your time in all these locker rooms, have you ever, like, did you feel the tension where there was, like, the offense was pissed at the defense or the defense was ever pissed at the offense? Like, how standoffish and awkward could it get? Because the guys keep sending good messages, but it's going to get to a boiling point.
I think the funny thing is, like, listening to the defensive guys speak, I think it is interesting how they literally have to keep, like, lowering the bar. And you know what, you know, and our standard is, hey, you guys only gave up 6 points. How do you feel about it? Well, you know, our standard is 0 points. It's like, okay. I feel bad for the defensive players because they're trying to protect the offense. And it's really hard to do when you only give up 6 points. And you're like, you know, our standard is 0 points and we're not meeting our standard. And I'm like, dude, you gave up 2 field goals. This team was averaging like almost 28 points a game. What are you talking about? So they're somewhat like hiding, you know, the problems of the offense. And as far as the tension in the locker room, I don't know how real it is. I mean, on the teams that I've been on, it was like open season. Like, they would be calling us out and teasing us and stuff like that. And at this point in time, if you only have 2 wins, everyone's just looking to the end of the season, unfortunately. And you're hoping you stay in the game. But as soon as you get down, now what you're going to see, you will see guys shutting it down during the game. That's what you will see. That's another level of low. Like, that's going to happen. You'll see it during the week. You'll see it during Christmas time. You'll see it in January. Guys that just don't want to play because they have an injury that they normally would play through. But now, why would I do it? I'll just say I can't go. And there'll be other guys who are free agents who are trying to benefit from some better film playing against a team that knows you don't have anything. And they're just trying to pad their stats. It's just, or you know, even Bill. The more Bill speaks, I think the worse it looks. That's another level of low. I think today was one of the worst post-game press conferences I've ever seen as far as him just not knowing what to say. And then just all these reporters just peacocking because they finally have, you know, the high ground on him. And he's damn nothing right. He can do but just backpedal. Yeah, damn
when
right.
You have the hammer, use it.
Yeah, they're using it all right. And as bad as I feel for him, like, well, you know, it's kind of what you are now.
You feel bad for the bully? He's been the bully for 25 years, and now he gets pushed around a little, and you feel bad for Bill?
I'll put it this way. You know, it's almost like those heavyweight boxers, you know, in their prime, and then they just never know when to quit, and then they retire, and then they come back, and they just get their ass kicked, and their pride is so strong, they won't fall down, they won't give up, and they just get pummeled. And yeah, you feel a little bad for him because they just, so much has changed and they got old overnight. Bill looks like, Bill ages like a president. It was like the last 6 months.
Christian, did you hear my new slogan? Losing is undefeated. It breaks everyone. Losing is undefeated. It breaks everyone.
It does. You're right. I don't care how many cool cliches you have or how many videos you can show.
Yep.
Losing is undefeated. And I don't care how strong or how proud you are. Eventually, everybody's got a breaking point. We all do. And this is unprecedented. You know, it's like 2 wins. I mean, we can't even. I mean, if
score.
We just. I'm assuming if they just get one win, you know how happy they would be? It'd be so happy.
I'd be sad.
I've been on teams where, like, we knew everybody was getting fired, but, like, we just got one win. I was like, wow, at least we don't have to worry about people giving us crap for another week. Mm-hmm. So it's just count the days, man.
We may be beyond that, Christian, at this point now. And if the Panthers win one more game and the Pats lose out because of strength of scheduling, the Patriots would vault up to the number one pick overall. So we do have some hope or something out there, although it's 21-10 Buccaneers over the Panthers with 7 minutes left.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know you got some family matters to attend to. Good luck to your daughter in the basketball game. Go Team Fourier. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to weigh in with your boys, Fitzy and Hart, on the postgame show, guy.
All right, boys. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll tune in to you tomorrow. Christian Fourier joining us on the Harbor One Hotline tonight here on the Six Rings postgame show. Make sure you tune in to Gresh and Fourier, the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning, which should be an absolute blast talking to Bill Belichick on the quick turnaround before Thursday Night Football. You got the afternoon show, Jones, Mago, and Arcand. I guess they'll have Bailey Zappi on tomorrow. It's going to be a no victory, no points Monday here on WEEI, so you got that to look forward to, which is terrific. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We have a couple people still on hold. We'll try to get to you guys in a bit. We're a little bit behind the clock here, so Andy, we're going to throw it to commercials. Let's pay some bills. We'll come back. Calls. We come back, then we'll have a super final home stretch, and it's going to be all about you. Thumbs up. Cars for Kids, player of the game, all that stuff. Let's stay strong to the finish, folks. Six Rings postgame show wrapping up pretty soon here on WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And we're back. Andrew, Joe?
Yes?
Good. We have everybody together. Wonderful.
I was waiting for the host to host.
I was just making sure I wasn't hearing a strange commercial. We have a nice little home stretch here on the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI. We'll clean up these callers right now real quick, Andy, before we kick it over to you for your thumbs up and thumbs down. Very curious. Joe, we are not privy to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down list. So I'm gonna guess I'm gonna give you an over under of 3.5 people on the thumbs up list. Are you taking the over or the under?
I will take in the thumbs up, I'm gonna take the under on this one.
I'm gonna take the over, but barely. I think it just like sneaks in at 4, so we'll see if I'm right or we'll see if you're right. No, we're not betting because I already owe Andy too many beers. Matt's in Rhode Island. Matt, hi, how are you?
Good luck with that player of the game thing that you guys are going to do. I'll be interested to hear what you come up with. Bill,
you?
Bill, you
Ken Laird, the program director? Hey, guys, don't forget the player of the game. It's sponsored.
These idiot reporters, like, asking Bill Belichick, like, he's the head coach and general manager of the team or something. I mean, give me a break. I mean, what the heck? No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, sarcasm. But, you got a guy like you move up to get Tyquan Thornton. NFL receiver. He's been here. He's been hurt. He can't run routes. I can only assume he's been catching a football for his entire life. He can't do that. This is getting epically hilarious on the offensive side of the ball. And don't forget, this is the team that he put out there. There are really no injuries. I mean, our rookie wasn't out there today, but other than that, this is the team that he put together. This is the team that he put together, and this is the product that he put together. So I can't believe anyone's even questioning him. Hey, thanks, guys. Great show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate you calling in as well. Yeah, I know. Intense sarcasm. These are the things that are getting people through, Andy, now. Like you said earlier, like steer into it. Try to have a laugh. Like,
yeah.
Find weird, perverse ways that go against the culture and the grain of what you used to believe and hold dear to your Patriots fan heart. That's how you have to get through this because, whew.
For example, there was one play today where might have been Quentin Johnston, their young receiver, actually caught the ball, and two Patriots tried to tackle him, including one, Jalen Mills, who kind of went high and ended up basically riding on the shoulders, piggyback style, of his fellow defender as they both tried to take down the receiver. It was funny. You got to take little giggles out of a football game. When you get no points and no wins, literally no points and no wins, you got to find little times to feel good about yourself. Also, you know how Fourier was joking like the defense has got to pitch a shutout?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd still tie. You wouldn't win.
You'd still just get overtime. 0-0.
The overtime that we were deprived of last week in the Meadowlands.
No overtime. I am putting my foot down. I'm embracing the tanking. I'm trying to do my best to do a lot of things here, but I'm putting my foot down when it comes to extra time watching this bad football team.
Yeah, speaking of not being able to score points, the 49ers just cranked it up with 10 minutes left, 35-13. Woo, boy.
And Jalen Hurts had to exit just slightly, but he just came back in. So we saw Marcus Mariota for a
Yeah, he was
bit.
Questionable with a possible concussion diagnosis. He went to the little blue tent. They probably asked him some questions like, what day is today? And he was like, Tuesday. And they're like, all right, go on back.
Close enough. Yeah. Get out there.
It ended in AY. You're good. Yeah,
what
good
year
enough.
Is this? Trubisky's wow. playing. Mariota's playing. Oh, what year God. Are we in?
Trubisky, if he starts Thursday, Andy, he would make the 52nd quarterback to start a game this season in the NFL. God, this season
And
stinks.
If Malik Cunningham starts, that'd be 53rd.
Let's go to my hometown. Hi, Ma. Hi. It's not. No, Mike's up in Maine.
Did
we'll
you
get
say
to
Ma?
No, no. Even she's the lucky one. She's... didn't have to watch
Let's all shout out our moms while we're at
Hi,
it.
Hi, Ma!
Paul's in Braintree. Hi, Paul.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Doing. We're hanging you. In, my man. Made better by calls like yours. Yeah.
I know. I've been watching football for a long time. Statistically, this is the worst offense since the 76 Buccaneers, who scored 20 points only once. It was the first year in the league. It's terrible. Now, here's a hypothetical. Okay. If Jim Harbaugh becomes the coach and we draft this Harrison kid in the first round. Would you draft J.J. McCarthy in the second? Because he knows him. Have him sit behind a veteran?
He does know him. Wait, which veteran is he sitting behind?
Well, as you bring a veteran in, whoever the veteran might be.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't love J.J. McCarthy, but pairing him with Harbaugh and knowing their relationship, if he came here and gut Harrison as the stud player and then was willing to sort of vouch for J.J. McCarthy, I think I would accept that. I wouldn't love it, but I would accept it.
Okay. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Yeah, he didn't have exactly the best Big Ten championship, but then again, Kirk Ferentz's team, kind of much like Bill Belichick's Patriots, great offense, rock-solid defense, terrible offense.
Yep.
You know, Andy, if we had just smartly... on FanDuel Sportsbook, our sponsor of the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, had we just parlayed no points scored by Iowa, their over-under in both the first and second half was 0.5 points. If we did a first and second half and then parlayed that into the under today, we'd be very rich people.
Why didn't we?
I don't know. Can we please have somebody review our choices and equations and options by the time we get... I'm telling you right now, I don't care if the under's 19 on Thursday. House, mortgage, farm, family, everything. Both cars going right on it.
I got to think it's going to be pretty low. Two bad offenses for the bulk of the year with two backup quarterbacks
let's guess it right
on a
now.
Thursday
let's guess
night.
Let's get on. Let's before we grab these calls and start home stretching with your thumbs up and such, let's do it right now. I'm going to guess 30.5.
Oh, I was going to go a little higher. I was thinking like 33.5, 34.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. But it's going to be in the
zappy.
It's going to be in the low 30s. Because the problem is, I also always think the wild card in these like ugly Thursday night games is like a random play. Everybody's tired. You might get a kick return, a punt return, a scoop and score. It might be so ugly that it leads to points. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and disagree with you on that one.
Okay. I mean, some point, don't the Patriots actually have to score points? They are a professional football
Legally,
team.
Legally, they don't have to. All right,
they are a professional team.
Andy, your forecast for Thursday, partly cloudy, yep. Some sunshine, a high of 45. It'll dip into the upper 30s, so it's just going to be crisp. It's going to be a nice, cool evening in
Unlike
Pittsburgh.
Unlike the Patriots offense, it'll be crisp.
And our last call of the night, Quinn is in Boston. To the mighty Quinn we go.
My name is Chris, not Quinn, but I appreciate it.
Perfect.
Hey, guys,
right.
I just wanted to say about the best play that I saw today was falling asleep at 101, taking a great nap, missing the entire debacle of that game, and waking up at 4:15 to see the Cardinals win an absolute meaningless game to bolster us into the Marvin Harrison Jr. sweepstakes. Woo-hoo!
Let's go.
Woo! Right. Chris, that was the most positive call that we had all day long. Look at that. Someone in Patriots Nation had a day. Oh. He fell asleep. He must have worked the night shift or just had a banger of a get-together last night. Someone got the holiday nog flowing freely and freshly early. Oh, my God. Is it 7:25 yet?
Oh, it's cool.
So Chris in Boston had himself a night. passes out at 5-1, right after kickoff, doesn't have to endure that ice-cold, sideways rain slog of an under-attended game at Gillette, wakes up, didn't have to deal with that, and next thing you know, it's like a time capsule thing. He fell asleep in hyperspace, missed all of it, and woke up, the Cardinals won. Have a day, Chris. Have a day.
He just reminded me of my dumbass idea that I brought to the Rich Keefe show like 5 weeks ago, that every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. we'll do a full segment that's all positive Patriots. What the hell are we going to talk about
what
Tuesday
was,
night?
What? My God. What?
Oh, we got the pick.
Okay. It's 9:01.
I know. We're going to have to be an abbreviated segment.
Yeah, I think that one, you're probably going to have
to. That was such a terrible idea. Not even I knew this could go this bad, this wrong.
No. No one could. And I heard you right at the top of the show today as well as you piloted us out of Bay, and things got going around 3:50. If you missed any of the show, of course, you can subscribe to the Six Rings podcast as well on Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you happen to get your podcast, WEI.com. And, of course, you can always listen to us and rewind and catch your favorite moments of the show on the Odyssey app as well. Thank you to everyone, by the way, who shared their Spotify Wrapped and their Apple Podcast Wraps. All the hours people spent hanging with us. We're doing everything we can to try to make this season as informative, engaging, entertaining, tolerable, and palatable as possible. Andy, we'll throw to a quick break. When we come back, thumbs up, thumbs down, player of the game, and then we'll put a bow on this absolute hog fest of a game and a post game. It's Fitzy, it's Hart, it's Braverman, it's you. It's the Six Rings post game show live on WEEI. All right, home stretch, final 10 minutes here of the Six Rings post game show. Longest one to date since, of course, we had to go on extra early following a very quick second half. Chargers 6, Patriots nothing. Andy, just a couple things I noted on Twitter before, or rather noticed before we get to your thumbs up, thumbs down. Bucks wide receiver Mike Evans has now started his NFL career with 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Three, obviously, with Tom Brady. Now he's got one with Baker Mayfield, a bunch with Jameis Winston. My God. No, how about this? No player in NFL history has had more than six. Damn.
Is that real?
Impressive. That's real.
No other players had more than six?
Six consecutive.
Not even Jerry Rice?
No, that's impressive. That is really impressive. Good for him.
It was a different era.
Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes have arrived at Lambeau, and guess what? It's a little snow-pack snow. We got some snow out at Lambeau tonight.
Weather game at Lambeau, the frozen tundra.
You got to love that. That may provide for some quality entertainment there. Yeah. It's 35-19, Niners over the Eagles with 5 minutes left. It looks like we may have a shakeup in our power rankings. Bryce Young threw a pick, ending any shot at a Carolina comeback, so Tampa gets the win. The Patriots now have the number two pick in the draft. We'll see how that goes next week as well. So real quick, I wanted to find out, did you agree or disagree with the college football playoff rankings? Of course, in case anyone missed, earlier today at 12 o'clock, they announced Michigan is one, Washington, who won the Pac-12, the final Pac-12 championship, two, number three, Texas, and number four, Alabama, ousting an undefeated Florida State team who would be without their quarterback, so they decided that they would not be a good watch, and they put in Alabama, who's on a heater instead, setting up Michigan versus Alabama on New Year's Day from the Rose Bowl. What do you think about that, Hart?
So if you're just trying to put the four best teams right now in the playoffs and create the best matchups for the best TV and entertainment, then I think they got it right. If you are actually putting a championship together where you reward a team for its season, then I think they screwed it up, because Florida State deserves to be there based on the games they played this season. I understand. I watched the game. We talked about it. Louisville FSU. Yep. Not entertaining. I don't really want to watch FSU again with the freshman quarterback. But they played their schedule. They played their third quarterback. They won the game with the backup. They won the game with the backup's backup. They earned a right to be there. So, but I didn't know this, but in the, I don't know if you call them bylaws or whatever, of the committee, it actually says player availability is to be taken, player or coach availability is to be taken into consideration. Correct. So it's in their rules that basically if a quarterback gets hurt, don't put that team in, because we want two good games and then a good national championship. And if you put the team without its star player quarterback in, you're probably setting up for disappointment. So I don't know what their agenda is. Their agenda is probably good TV and good entertainment, so they get they got it right.
Yeah, it's too bad. Florida State goes undefeated. Just literally a bad break as their quarterback goes up. Jordan Travis, I want to say is his name?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's really too bad for them, too bad for the program. They did everything, literally did everything they possibly could. One with the players that they had, and yet it still wasn't good enough. But yeah, I heard that this morning as well on SportsCenter, way in the way early hours of the morning, and thought, I understand why they put that in there, for the ratings and for the watchability and for the entertainment value.
Which I also hate it for Georgia, by the way. Georgia gets screwed because it's the one thing that is consistent in college football is if you're going to lose, lose early so people forget about it and time gets you away from it.
Yep.
Don't lose late because if you lose late, you're screwed.
Texas woodsheds Oklahoma State, and they had the quality win over Alabama earlier in the season. Bama comes on like a house of fire, knocks out Georgia. It's only a three-point game, but in the end, it's good enough. Bama's in. Michigan, Bama. Ooh, and apparently Michigan was none too happy with that. Too bad. Got to play the teams that are on your schedule. I think it's going to make for one heck of a New Year's Day. All right, thumbs up, thumbs down. You can read it each and every week after the Patriots game on WEEI.com. Andy, let's go ahead and see how many people made it onto your thumbs up list today.
So it's definitely the over, thanks in the way that I wrote it, that a couple of them are large groups of people. So the positives, I'm still giving Bryce Behringer a thumbs up because not too many Patriots do their job well. He had one shank, but he still had a 70-yarder. He had three down inside the 20, and he averaged 49 yards per kick or something. I'll he had a good it. Average. So he gets it. Here's where the tricky thing happens. I gave it to the whole defense. The whole defense, to me, deserves praise. They basically, the entire unit, for what they've not only done in this game, but in prior games, the way they are playing with no support from the offense, they held them to below 2 yards a carry rushing, 4 of 14 on third downs, 220 net yards, and they only gave up two field goals to the eighth highest scoring offense in the NFL, made life tough on Justin Herbert yet again. I put Ezekiel Elliott on there. I know he had a fumble late that he got away with that they were able to recover. I thought he worked his ass off. I mean, this is a veteran guy who's supposed to be the backup, and now all of a sudden, because Ramondre's hurt, was the workhorse. 52 yards on 17 carries, another 40 yards through the air, so almost 100 yards of total offense, a 23-yard catch-and-run pass. I love the way Zeke, everything he brings to the table. So I give him credit for stepping up when Ramondre went down. And then a couple others that are a little sort of off the normal path we take here. The throwback uniforms looked great. Even J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt said it at halftime. He said, hey, the one thing that looks good at Gillette is those throwback uniforms. Those are awesome. So
it's
if J.J. Watt's going
to
notice it.
That jersey's made the list.
Yep. Hey, it is what it is. I'm rooting for the laundry. And then I give credit to the Foxborough faithful. There was a small crowd. There were empty seats. I acknowledge that. I understand that. But the people that went, I thought, did a good job, including their boos, by the way. Because I think when the team deserves to be booed, you're a good fan to boo. So they booed, but they were there in the rain. They were there supporting their team, and a lot of them stayed to the end, your friend Debbie and others. So the Foxborough faithful, boo, made the thumbs up list. Now, quickly, the thumbs down list.
Yes, sir.
Bailey Zappe starts it for me. I didn't think he was very good. I thought he lacked accuracy early. I thought he was running around a little bit too quickly at times. I thought he didn't help out his offensive line. We'll get to them in a minute. 13 of 25 for 141 yards. That's just not enough in the NFL. And I know there's others that'll be on here, Thornton and others, but Bailey Zappe did not give a boost to the offense, despite what you may have read on Burt Breer's Twitter feed. Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry. Bill O'Brien and his offense aren't good enough. He has not been part of the solution. It's a little bit like we said about Mac. He's got to be better. Blame him. He said to blame him. I'm starting to blame him some. I know you don't have a lot of good chicken to work with, but you're turning it worse than it was. It's spoiled. You're giving people salmonella. The key injuries. This is the worst one for me. It just sucks because I don't think the Patriots were all that talented this year, but Matthew Judon, gone. Christian Gonzalez, gone. Kendrick Bourne, gone. Demario Douglas, gone. Ramondre Stevenson, gone in the first. This is why we can't have nice things because all the nice things are broken and don't get to play anymore. So I'm sick of the injuries. Mike Onwenu, just a bad day. And I lumped in the rest of the line. David Andrews sneaky stunk too. He got toasted on a couple of a run. He whiffed on a run block where Zeke got tackled for like a 3-yard loss on third down. Then he gave up a sack, and Khalil Mack owned Mike Onwenu. And then Tyquan Thornton. You're here to just do one thing, run deep and catch the ball. You ran deep, you didn't catch the ball. It's gotten buried. They broke him. Tyquan Thornton was better in his rookie training camp than he has been any time since. And his failure to develop is part of the failure of this team's ability to score any points offensively.
Which is why significant organizational change will have to be brought about in the upcoming offseason as well. Thank you very much for that, Andy. If you'd like to read through that once again, folks, it's available at WEEI.com. We'll end with this. It's the Cars for Kids Player of the Game, brought to you by Cars for Kids. If you donate your car today, it can be picked up as soon as tomorrow. Go to Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K. Or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Andy.
I'm going to let Christian Barmore accept this award on behalf of the entire defense. He continues to be a beast in the middle of the line. He tweeted out, "I'm still going to show up," or something like that. And he continues to show up. The defense continues to show up. So those guys on that side of the ball deserve the Player of the Game honor.
Excellent choice as well. Excellent post-game show. Thank you to all the callers. Great job, Joe. Andy, excellent job maintaining things while I was a couple minutes late to the show. 3.5 hours, our longest almost a four-hour post-game show. Our longest one to date. Great job, everybody. Thank you so much for sticking with us and making us a growing part of your Patriots information and entertainment community. We'll be back Tuesday with a new Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Patriots Monday tomorrow from 6A to 6P here on WEEI. For Joe, for Andy, for everyone, thanks for tuning in. Final score, Chargers 6 and Patriots nothing. We'll talk to you late after Steelers Pats Thursday. Good night, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.